Oh, you know it's off the change.
All right. Good morning. Good evening. Good whatever it is, wherever you are listening to Off the Change podcast. Thank you for joining us again. It is 2021, definitely. And we have a lot of off the change happenings this week. We're going to get to those in a minute. This is your boy, your co-host, your boy, Steph Sanders in the building. And my dynamic, beautiful, vivacious, Lumpia queen, co-host, Miss
Christy Nong.
What up, Christy? How was your week?
My week was wonderful, super busy. I was busy this morning, up at 4 a.m. fulfilling these catering orders and lumpia orders. And
wow. Now
I'm here with you beautiful people, and I'm just ready to have some fun today.
Wow. When are you going to be able to quit your job and just do lumpia? That's it. And just do
lumpia? I could, but I love my job.
You love your job?
I love my job because I love serving.
Everybody can't say that.
No, we
saw you serve. Everybody didn't see it before we got on air, but we saw you serving it. So I know you like serving. That's wonderful. You like serving.
How I make my tips.
Yo,
you know, I like just the tips.
So hey, this week we always have dynamic, great guests, and very special guests on every week. And we've been blessed these four episodes. But this week we have somebody on who was personally to me. And I was really excited that he even said yes. I put it out. You know, you ask somebody, and I was like, he probably going to be like, Stephen, you ain't big enough for me. But, you know, come back and see me in 100 episodes. But he said yes. Woo! This is my mentor. One of my mentors. He doesn't know how much he means to me, but he going to know after this episode. But everybody has seen him. BET Comic View. Bill Bellamy's Who Got Jokes. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family. Co-host of The Monique Show on BET. Comedy album right now. Called Survivor, colleges, clubs, and everything else in between and greater. It's my distinct honor and pleasure to bring the Off the Change family, Mr. Rodney Perry.
Woo! Welcome, welcome.
What up, Christy? What's up, Steph?
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, Rodney?
I'm good.
You look good, man. You look distinguished.
You know, I'm old, man.
You're not old, you're just better.
Don't give up.
You're better and wiser.
I'll take it. I'm excited. So we already know each other, but I'm excited that Christy gets to meet you and the listeners get to meet you, man. So welcome to the show, man. Fantastic to see you. So tell me about this year, your album, Survivor. Why is it called Survivor? Tell my listeners a little bit about what you survived.
Well, I survive everything, man. I mean, Survivor is so many things for so many people. You know, if you're Black in America, you survive in life.
Ooh,
you know, I personally have survived a stroke.
Yeah.
I had a stroke 4 years ago. And this past year, I dealt with COVID. So I sound like I got it right now. So no, but I named it that. And as I was working on that piece of comedy, I wanted to cover, you know, the stroke part of my life that I hadn't really talked about on stage. So that part is in that piece of comedy. So that's why I called it Survivor. And then I also mimicked the cover of the Richard Pryor cover.
I saw that.
You won it.
You won it. Yeah, yeah, I saw that. One of my first albums I used to listen to. So yeah. I'm glad you survived a stroke. I'm glad you survived COVID, man.
Me too.
It's good to see. It's good to see that. So I had COVID as well. We talked about that in the first episode. But tell me, so when you did have the stroke, was there ever a time that you thought I won't be entertaining again, I won't be performing again?
Absolutely. I never contemplated my mortality, but I definitely didn't know if I would be able to perform, you know, and so you go through that and then you go, okay, I think I'm gonna be able to perform, but to what extent?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Am I gonna be myself? And then you look at yourself and go, how do I talk about this and not have people feel sorry for me?
Yeah.
You know. And so that was the dilemma, you know. But you know, we got through it. It's funny. It's funny. Okay. It's funny stuff.
I know if anybody can make it funny, you can. We talked about in the first episode how comedians, everything is open to us to make funny. Mm-hmm. We, you know, like I hear people say, when people just die, we give it a 24-hour period, but we're gonna talk about him afterwards. And
you know, we lost my mom, and well, no, she's not dead. She's in the mall somewhere, but.
Spending your money?
Yeah. No. She's gone, but that's one of the ways you cope.
Yeah.
With jokes about it. So
right.
Yeah. It's all good. You know.
Yeah, man. So 2020 was crazy for everybody. COVID affecting us. Even now, it's like this is an extension of 2020. I said, I remember when we in distinct in 2019, we was like, I can't wait till this year is over for me, because 2020 is coming. It's going to be the best year. And then it came, and 2020 was like Debo. 2020 has Debo. 2021 now.
It's like Debo.
Debo. Exactly. So how did it change what you did in comedy? What did the trajectory of your path, what you were doing at that time, what changed, and what did you do in lieu of? Because I know a lot of people got businesses, a lot of people started business, a lot of people DoorDash. What did you do?
I ain't DoorDash. But I think the first 100 days I was at a loss.
Yeah.
You know, because, I had a stroke and I was back on stage in 45 days. So now I'm looking at 110 days, and I'm like, yo, I haven't been on stage. It's the first time in my career that I hadn't been on stage in 100 days. It was crazy. And then I say, okay, when in doubt, you get creative, you get kinetic. And so I start creating. I finished my book, which I have a copy of it right here. Finished my book, Rodney Perry Moments on My Journey.
Oh, well, okay. Congratulations. Wow. Author too. Okay.
I finished my book. I did a prank call CD series that I created right here, right in this room right here, created that. Well, not exactly right here, but the idea came right here.
Yeah.
And I just start creating, you know, whether it was on social media, you know, beefing up my YouTube, beefing up my Instagram, beefing up my Facebook, you know, to kind of get people to look my direction. So when the world opens back up, I'll have an army of people that want to help and come see me.
That's good. So that leads into the next thing. So the title of this episode of this show, so we do a two-segment episode. One is the comedians and zany, and the other 30 is basically about a topic. So this topic this week, the title of this is You Got Your Stimulus, So Now What? So basically, you know, we want to tell people, you know, you get this $600, you get this $600 per kid, or you scheme and say you got 10 kids, you get all this money, $6,000.
Right.
What should you do and how should you spend it smartly? So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you're a working comic and you're one of the first ones. So when I got to L.A., first of all, let me tell you, when I got to L.A., you were one of the first comics I met, and you spoiled me because I thought every big name, you had much bigger name, you know, biggest name I had met was like you. Right. And you was giving advice. You've been the same guy since then. You know, whatever, the movies, TV never changed. And you gave advice and you talked to us and you made us feel like, damn, we worthy. And we would talk to other people and think they would give us the same energy. No, hell no. Learned a lot of people. My heroes who I watch on TV every day, I can't stand them. They are not good people. But anyway.
Right.
But anyway, you were working. And so when is the time, or how did you know that to go from that, you know, locally funny and doing open mics to then I can make money on this? And when you did start making money, how did you leverage that into making more money and knowing how the business of comedy?
Man, that's a big question. So it's going to be kind of a big answer.
No problem.
Here goes. So I didn't get into comedy for money.
Okay.
I just wanted to be funny. Mm-hmm. Right. But then you're funny. You start, you know, actually achieving that, and you start looking around and you go, I want the most people possible to see me. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? So I'm looking, and all the guys that was coming back from shows, you know, on Monday or Tuesday, they was all actors.
Yep.
They was comedians, but they was actors. I was like, okay, I need to get in this acting game. So I started taking classes. Took acting classes for 5 or 6 years. You know, I studied with Tasha Smith. And she was good for me because she was a comedian.
Yeah.
And she knew how to help me being a comedian that would eventually act. Because a lot of times a comedian, people expect you to kind of improvise and be in the moment and create, you know, as an actor. So I was like, okay, I need to start acting. So I took those classes. And as soon as I took the classes, I started getting acting stuff. It was like the fact that I had started doing the work toward the thing, then I start getting the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so now I'm acting, you know, and in the meantime, you know, I was also doing other things that I thought that was dope, like radio. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to do radio. So I'm doing a mic in LA, and part of the advertising on the mic, I had to go to the radio station every Friday. Mm. Well, Friday became Friday and Monday. And Friday and Monday became Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. Before I knew it, I was on the radio.
Wow.
The number two market in the world. I'm on the radio. But guess what? I was making no money.
Yeah.
My friends was teasing me. They was like, dude, why you keep going up there? They ain't paying you. I was like, you know what? I'm building my brand. And that brand, that thing kind of helped. And so my whole career has kind of been like that. You know, you go from one thing to the next thing. You know, I'm never looking too far out ahead, but I'm always looking ahead.
Yeah, you're paying your dues is what we call that.
Indeed, indeed.
Putting in your time. Mm-hmm.
Well said, my Lumpia queen.
Thank you.
When did you go comedy full time?
1998.
Okay.
So I'm a Navy vet. I was in the Navy from 90 to 98.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. Yeah.
It was an honor and a privilege. So
I think I don't know if I knew that. You know, I'm Army. Did we talk about this before?
I think I did know you were Army.
Okay. I didn't know you were Navy.
Well, thank you for your service too, Steph.
What years were you in?
I was in the Army from 90 to 99, well, 96 active. And then I went reserve. Then I went back in. Did a little stint, 18 months.
You went back on active duty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. So I would have joined the Army, but I hurt my knee because the Army recruiter was recruiting me. I hurt my knee in high school and I ended up not going to the Army. And then almost 2.5 years later, I go to the Navy.
Okay.
So okay. I'm in the Navy and you're going to understand this because you military. I was at a crossroads. I was at 8 years. If I were to enlist another 4, that would have took me to 12. I felt like if I did 12, I might as well do 20.
Got to do 20, yeah.
Right, might as well be the lifer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I did the 8. I had met some comedians. I was in the Bay Area. You know, I was stationed in the Bay.
Oh, okay.
I was stationed in the Bay Area. So I was at Alameda, and then from Alameda to Moffett Field.
Got it.
Right? Okay. So I was on active duty doing comedy in the Bay Area.
That makes sense. Right? Bay Area, black, everything out there.
All that Bay Area. You know, me, Kat, yeah. Lunel, you know, all of us was in that same incubator. So I'm in the Bay. My best friend, Harry Radford, who currently writes for Kevin Hart, mm-hmm. he was there. We was roommates. We had came, my first tour, I meet him in New Orleans.
Okay.
So I'm at the crossroads. I met some comedians that was dope, but for whatever reason, life had passed them by comedically. Mm. And I knew that I didn't want to be that dude. Mm. I knew I didn't want to be the dude that used to be funny because he had to work a job.
Right.
So I was like, if I don't go now, I'm never going to go.
Right, so yeah.
98, I'm 28 years old. I get out. I get out the military, pack up my family, move to L.A., and March of 98, 99, I get to LA and start trying to make it happen. And it took me still 2 more years in LA to really get to going for real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Good story. So let me, when you did start making some serious money, did you?
Well, I wouldn't make no serious money for years.
Okay.
But probably not till like 2003 or 4.
Okay. And when you did do that, did you create, because like no one teaches you about the taxes and independent contractor, now we LLC, forming LLC, whatever. Who taught you all that and how did you navigate that?
I don't start doing that until 2011.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so when I booked the Monique show in 2011, I've been doing everything through my own social.
Okay. Right?
Mm-hmm. Everything. And, you know, of course, over time, you meet people with business folks. And I think I had a manager at that time. And he advised me, yo, it's time for you to kind of become a business. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be able to take your money and decide what the government gets instead of them deciding what you get.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that made sense to me. So here goes. This story nobody ever tell you, though. So I had a lawyer. He's a famous lawyer and he represents a lot of people. But the thing about lawyers, they're not accountants.
No, absolutely yeah. not.
A lawyer and accountant is accountant is a reason
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
You get you a CPA.
Yeah.
You get a CPA. Well said, Christian. So I started my company there's a couple of different companies you can have. You can have LLC. Mm-hmm. You can have limited liability company, LLC. You can have a C corp. You can have an S corp.
Yeah.
Right. So I learned the difference the hard way. So BET, who I was about to go in business with, didn't want to do business with no LLC. Mm. I'm like, cool. I become one of the other. So like LLCs is for mostly for brick and mortar companies, people with walls and infrastructure and people.
Right.
LLC. Because you want to, somebody walk into your business and you're LLC, you want to limit your liability if they fall or some dumb shit. Right.
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 That makes sense.
And
yeah.
So what happens if somebody sets you up that don't really know the nuance of business, it defaults to a C Corp. Right? Mm. So my lawyer set it up. I'm a C Corp. So I start making this money on Monique's show. Before I know it, a year in, I get a tax bill for $90,000.
Shut up. Mm.
Were you not paying quarterly taxes?
Well,
I'm assuming not. Didn't learn that yet.
Well, I didn't learn that. And not only, but that wouldn't have made a difference. Mm-hmm. You have to live like two separate entities.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you're a C Corp, you got to live like you got this money here. Mm-hmm. All this money you're bringing in, so you're paying yourself. Yeah. I didn't understand that.
Right.
And so I was living off of the money as I was getting it. So I got taxed twice as if I was doing the right thing, but I wasn't. Mm. And so it looked like I made double what I actually made.
Got it.
And so I was at a loss. I was paying my tax bill, paying it, called the IRS. I finally meet an accountant, and he's like, yo, he's like, your business is set up all wrong. You should be an S Corp. You should be you're the sole proprietor. You're the product, and you are the company. You
right.
as an individual.
It's only one person. It's just you.
Oh, it's sole proprietor. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Right.
So we changed my business, and the only person that can talk to the IRS on your behalf really is you. Like you can give people the right to talk on your behalf. But you need to do it. So I'm talking to the IRS, and it's hard to get the IRS on the phone.
Yes, it is.
I'm saying it's 2 hours each time, and I get them on the phone. They're like, oh, you need to talk to the business folks. 2 more hours. Boom. Talking. Finally get them on the phone.
Get old government.
I explained to the woman. I'm like, look, I started my business only a year and a half ago, and I'm paying my debt, but I'm wondering, is there any way, because we've changed my business from a C Corp to S Corp, it seems like I've been double taxed and blah, blah, blah. Is there any stipulation that could help me? He said, well, hold on, Mr. Perry. Wow. Seems like there's a one-time exemption that allows you to grandfather your company back to a
S Corp.
What? If you do that,
look at you.
Like we owe you $10,000.
Woo! What? Well.
Look at God. Don't you tell me about my God. Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge blessing, man. And I learned a lesson about companies, crash course. I know all there is to know.
Now you're educated.
Right. People have to come to you.
Hey, if you ask me, I'll tell you.
And, sometimes you got to learn that though. Okay, that's the best way to learn on the job. But you know,
I definitely learned it. I had the $90-some thousand debt that went away in a click of a button, and I've been living and moving that way ever since. Now to Christy's point, you can always do that. You can always pay your taxes quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the country can do that, mm-hmm. and if you choose to do that, you can kind of create a space where you don't have as much debt to play, but I try to write everything off. I try not to owe nothing. I try to break even every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I try not to owe them nothing. I use my money, do what I want to do with it, and then I pay y'all as I see fit.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way too. I really went to business school. I got my MBA for that reason, because as coming up, we're not taught in our communities about mm-hmm. business, about taxes, about anything of that nature.
We don't learn money till we get it.
We don't learn money until we get it. And
that's
then
right.
Mm-hmm. And then my father taught me something very important. I was adopted, so my grandparents were my parents. And he said, it's the difference between rich and nigger rich. And he taught me, you know, he said, nigger rich is, let's go down here right now. He's showing me everybody with the flashy car, flashy rims, flashy everything. Mm-hmm. He said, then, you know, but look at their bank accounts. They have nothing mm-hmm. in it. And then they have no investments and no way to create their money to create money. But then he mm-hmm. taught me about creating money and that, like, just like you just said, paying yourself and doing all those things. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful to me. And I was like, wow. It's like, I went to military academy, West Point, freshman mm-hmm. year, Christmas. I'm like, I come in there with my Jordans. We got Jordans.
You an officer.
Well, we won't go there. I didn't finish because I left sophomore year, play baseball. But we go there at Christmas, and I come in there with my little clothes, my jerseys, my whatever, you know, material stuff. And I said, what y'all get? And they was like, oh, my dad got me these AT&T stocks, and my grandfather got me these Walmart stocks, and my son. And I'm laughing, like, stocks? What y'all, you know, 100 shares?
You got stocks, I got socks.
Right. And not knowing at that time, I don't know if you knew at that time in the early 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, if you had Walmart stock, 100 shares, you were a millionaire.
Yeah.
All these millionaires I'm in a room with, and I got these Jordans. I said, so that really just taught
me. You made Michael Jordan a millionaire.
Yeah, it showed a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, wow. So, okay, Christy, got a question for you. We ask everybody this question because our show, we're foodies. So we love food questions and we have food excerpts and stuff like that. So Christy mm-hmm. has a question for you. We ask everybody.
All right, Rodney. So if you can invite three people to dinner, whether they are dead or alive, who would they be and what would you serve? And you can take a few minutes to think about that. Okay, three people.
Three people. I would love to sit down and chop it up and eat with the great James Brown.
Ooh, yeah.
I would love to.
I feel
sit
good.
Down and I say I got three people right. Mm-hmm. I would love to talk to James Brown. I wouldn't mind. This is just off the top of my head. I'm thinking I would invite Maya Angelou. Mm. You know.
Oh, okay.
I think she would get on my nerves, but I would definitely like to talk to her.
Maya Angelou and James Brown at the same dinner table.
But let me tell you something. I done met some people that I really wanted to meet.
Yeah.
And they always get on my nerves. I'm like,
always.
I really wanted to talk to you, and your ass gets on my nerves.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
And I would love to talk to Robin Harris.
Oh,
you know, I would love to sit down and break bread with Robin Harris. Mm-hmm. I would have a regular good meal, fried chicken, greens,
ooh,
you know, some lumpy on the side of Christmas. Ah,
we're definitely crashing that dinner party.
her lumpia comes frozen. You got to go ahead and order some. I'm telling you, Rodney, if you like
it. Oh, really? Okay.
Just send it to you, brother. And this off the chain for real. Yeah. Yeah. Man, thank you so much for being with us today, Rodney. Man, this has been a pleasure and honor. And I'm going to do something that I've always wanted to do for somebody. People talk about giving in their roses with their lie. And Chrissy doesn't know this. My team doesn't know this or whatnot. But you have been a mentor to me and not knowing it since getting in the comedy game. I love hosting, right? And I love hosting because I used to watch you. Uh-oh. You hosted, you the room of the Comedy Union every week. But it was your room when you hosted. But first of all, you taught me a few things. If you do it right, you get the most time. Secondly, you get to work on all your stuff and people, and if you are likable and they love you, it's the Rodney Perry show. Yeah, the mother comics is there. It could have been James mm-hmm. Fox coming in and whatever, but they're like, I'm going to see Rodney's show Friday, right? Mm-hmm. And so that taught me that. It taught me everybody can be unliked on the show, but the host got to be loved. And you were always mm-hmm. loved and liked. And I love hosting, setting the table because I used to watch you do it. You never changed. But the whole time I met you, man, you've been a solid dude. And then I've been around the country in rooms and your name will come up and everybody will say, man, Rodney Perry, that's the best dude. And if they hadn't met you, a guy would say, man, I have not had the pleasure of meeting him, but I heard he's one of the best dudes in the world. And everybody, and you know, it's some assholes in our game and in a comedy game. And you have always been a solid dude and you have a great reputation, man. So I just want to let you know that now, while you're alive, they give you your roses now, dude. And
wait, do you know something? Is this it? Everybody?
Is the Grim Reaper coming? We need all your shout outs.
I want the Grim Reaper. Grim Reaper, tap me on the shoulder. I know you heard what Steph said, but
it's time to go. No, man, hey, you know, hey, bro, 2020 taught me you got to say something. Yeah, you got to say something now and talk to people, because I lost a lot of people in 2020. that I just talked to. And I got to the point I didn't want to talk to nobody because I said, the next week, they gone.
It might be you.
It might be me. It might be me. So, yeah. Oh, I just,
hey, let's put this on tape. If I die next week, it's your fault.
CSI.
No liabilities.
It ain't Christy. It's this fucking piece of shit.
I like it. Clear my name, thank you.
Rodney, tell everybody where they can find you, man. Your handles, your page, what you got coming up. Tell everybody,
your book,
man.
Yeah, show your book again.
Yeah.
Oh, show the book again.
Be on video on YouTube too.
You can get that on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all places people buy books. I'm easy to find. RodneyPerry.com is the website. And I'm currently doing 100 days to going viral. So I need people to like and subscribe my YouTube page and my Facebook page. They're both at Rodney Perry Live. And it's an honor and a privilege, man. Thank you for having me on.
Man, thank you. That has been Off the Change, everybody. That's our first segment. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank y'all again for listening.
Oh, you know it's Off the Change. Oh, you know it's Off the Change.
And we are back. That is our studio break, our commercial break. We want to thank our sponsors again every week, Christy. And if you want to be a sponsor for our show, offthechange@gmail.com. Offthechange@gmail.com. Don't spell T-H-E because that ain't the way it's spelled. It's offthechange@gmail.com. It's like your grandmama spelled it, all right? So, Christy.
Yes, sir.
Folks in the country got their stimulus. You think everybody going to spend it right?
Oh, you know, they're not going to spend it right. Like you said earlier, they're going to be at the Hilltop Mall in Richmond.
Hilltop Mall, hey, in line for the new Jordan. I was looking online. So I ain't going to lie. I was on the GOAT app. I was looking at some things. I had to catch myself. Yeah. I just put in my Robinhood account.
Right. But, they're not going to do penny stocks. They're not doing no kind of investment.
Nobody going to buy them life insurance.
Interest earning savings account.
This would kill me about my people. I'm telling you, culturally. Our people, we wait to buy like life insurance until we own the deathbed. Then we try to buy it then. Like, we try to buy it right then from the ventilator. Like, I think I need some life insurance. And try to get it from there. Grandmama, it's too late. It's done. Whatever's in your bed, that's what we're getting. So I think we should have some people on here today for our listeners, for Off the Change family, to give them some advice. What you think?
I think that's an awesome idea for the start of 2021. And especially because everybody got that stimmy money.
That's right. That's right. What you got for us today?
All right. So we've got Alex and Rodney from Evolution. Go ahead and tell them about what it is that you do and what you want to talk about today.
Alex and Rodney, proper introduction, Off the Chain.
Woo, woo! Welcome. Welcome, guys.
Man, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be on. Yeah. How's everybody doing?
We good, man. Awesome. We Off the Chain. It's the second episode of the new year. We ready. We ready for this to be a better year. We ready to make some money. I need you to show me how.
Absolutely. We all want to learn.
There it is.
Got all right, that knowledge.
Absolutely. Well, Rodney Fair here from Evolution, guys. And basically what we are, accelerator out here in the Sacramento marketplace that spans obviously throughout California. What we do is we help entrepreneurs and through our knowledge and wisdom with coaching, connecting them to capital and helping them capitalize, basically helping them structure their business correctly so they can build generational wealth. And I would love for Mr. Alex Chomps to go ahead and, tell a little bit about his experience and wisdom as well in the space.
All right. Go ahead, Alex. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much, guys. Honored to be here. Rodney, always a pleasure to serve alongside you, sir.
I would love that. I love it.
And love what you guys are doing here.
Thank you.
Yeah. You mentioned that the stimulus checks are coming in, huh?
They've come. Some of them got them. Some of them gone. We need to help those who ain't bought new shoes yet. We need to help them.
Well, it's about time, and there needs to be more. Yeah. No mistake about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know that, here in the United States in particular, the middle class has been flatlined.
I was going to say, what is that now? There's no middle. It's either the have and have nots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The middle class is flatlined, right? Lots of data shows.
Yeah.
And that's related to this like idea of ownership.
Right.
You know, like there's this concept of an ownership class, and the ownership class gets an outsized return compared to people whose primary product is labor.
So the outsized return means what in layman's terms?
Well, it means that when profits come back to a business, whatever your profits are, you're a regular business and you make $10,000 in profit this year. Okay. So some of the money goes back to the people who put up the capital for the business. Might have been, it's usually the owner, 95% of the time. It's the owners, it's their friends and family, it's a bank loan.
Right.
You know, but some of that money goes back to service the cost of capital. And what's, you know, left over goes back to the people who made the work happen. Mm-hmm. Did the work, right? Who opened the doors and picked it up and, you know, said hello to the customers and whose primary offering was a service of some kind. Mm-hmm. So if that's your life and that's my life and that's most people that I know's lives, then you can kind of stuck for 20 years. You could feel it, but you didn't necessarily understand why. And that's because this concept of ownership has become separated from you, me, us, we own this joint. It's our joint. It's our house.
Right, right.
This whole thing is ours. And we have the right to own the source of our own wealth. We have the right to own the output of our labor.
That's important. A lot of people think they don't have the right to ownership, or that it's not in their purview. And it is.
It's right. It's a birthright. It comes with the ticket. Welcome. You know, glad you got here. Don't care how you got here. Now that you're here, ownership is your right. And you're never going to make a better investment than you make in yourself.
Right. That's
absolutely right.
That's a nugget right there. Definitely.
So spot on. So those stimulus checks should be ultimately an investment in their future or something that they have ownership or equity in, opposed to spending it on something that's a consumable product that there's no value and no return, et cetera.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to judge somebody else's definition of value. That's a personal thing. What you value and what you're willing to pay for is an individual decision, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
But if you have some money left over, even a little bit of money, a tiny little bit of money, and you're wondering, what can I do with this? You might consider investing it in yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You might consider creating a business for less than $1,000.
Say that again. Say that again, Alex, because I don't think they heard that.
They didn't hear you.
Start your own business for less than what?
$1,000.
And people was buying PS5s and everything for way more than that. So you could have had your own business.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'd say, you know, a lot of, definitely for less than a weekend in Tahoe, you can have your own business.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Preach, Alex, preach. And weekend at Big Mama House, whatever you had.
But, you know, once you have your own business, then, you know, a whole world of possibilities open up to you.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, from taking some of the regular everyday expenses that are part of your life. Because if you're like me, you're working every day, you're hustling.
So I know people, let me say, Alex, that are doing meal prep, making masks. They did a whole bunch of businesses and business ideas that they don't even know that they could have made an LLC, S Corp, whatever they wanted to do in that time in COVID. Mm-hmm. They used to make a lot of money and hustle that they could have created a business coming out of COVID.
Yeah,
so that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, a good hustler is going to find is that they're making good cash flow. But then when it comes time at the end of the year to pay the bill, the tax bill is unusually high. Like, well, really? It didn't feel like that. Yeah. And that's because a lot of the time you're absorbing your business expenses into your personal wallet.
We just had our first guest talk about that today.
Exactly.
That exact thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the privileges of owning a business in this country today. The ability to say, hey, that's a valid business expense. I was hustling. I was trying to make money here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while I was trying to make money, I had to use my car. I had to take people out to eat. I had to buy supplies. I had to do all kinds of stuff. But that's the expense side. So there's plenty of benefits of ownership in terms of writing off expenses. But what about all the value that you create? What about the great ideas that you come up with? What about the relationships that you have in your life that commercialize every day into something for someone else?
Right.
Correct. Because it is space and time is money.
Why don't you save some of that value for yourself? Why don't you turn that into income for yourself? And better yet, why don't you encapsulate it in a vehicle that you can maintain for a low cost and pass along, subdivide, take investment in, multiply, copy, sell, right? I mean, hustling takes time, energy, brains.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm.
But you said something very important about passing that along. So, mm-hmm. you know, like we laugh in the hood about, you know, basically white folks have a reading of the will. We have reading of the bills, because when we die, we left with everything that they didn't. Mm-hmm. There's no will. There's nothing to, you know, to no generational wealth to pass on. So that's important that people can do that, and people need to think more like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really nothing like the return to capital. The return to capital is really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And you can create your own capital structure in the form of an LLC or a corporation or an S corporation. There are many forms and variations, but you can take your brain power and your relationships, your knowledge of a product and market fit, your ability to take things from one point to another at a profit, and turn those into booked value that has financial statements that saves you money every year while still allowing you to earn, allows you to probably charge more.
Yeah.
Right.
You have a personal right. brand. Yeah. Your personal brand might be worth mm-hmm. something. You know, this the off the change brand is probably mm-hmm. worth something.
It's right? it's gonna be worth every, it's worth a billion to me. Mm-hmm. Somebody else gotta say it though first.
That's right. So how are you gonna license that? How are you going to license that and sell it when somebody else wants to use it? And how is that license going to hold value over time and be not just for you, but for your family? And in the meantime, I hope you're using what you're making to build wealth and value in your community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
This is America. We own the joint.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's
Thanks
good.
For the reminder. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Don't forget. Yeah, you own this place. It's yours. This is the greatest experiment ever. And you are lucky enough to be here. And doesn't matter how you got here. It's yours.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
build
right.
it and keep a piece for yourself. Stake it out. Doesn't cost much. It's easy to do. If mm-hmm. you know what you're doing, you can start with 10 million shares and they can have a value of less than one penny per share, 1/100th of a penny, maybe 1/1000th of a penny. Mm-hmm. With a couple of, you know, let's call it years of good work and hustle, those same shares can be worth $1 each.
And now you have 10 million.
Right.
Wow.
That's your sweat equity in there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Somebody home right now doing the math. Like, wait a minute. Hold on. A penny, less than a penny. To the dollar. Wait, right. I know what a dollar is. I know what a dollar is. And 10 million is $10 million. That's okay. Yeah.
In order to set up your own, like anybody who's listening to this, you want to go set up your own 10 million certificates, just go down to your Secretary of State, wherever you're located, file a simple form, create a simple business, have 10 million units of shares, doesn't matter what you call them, in that business. And each one of them is going to be valued less than a penny, much less than a penny, because it's wow. just in your head. Mm-hmm. How long do you think it's going to take before people are going to want to participate in your brain power and are going to be willing to pay you even one penny or a dime or a dollar for each share that they get in your enterprise? Investment is. Mm-hmm. People, that's why they say we invest in the team, we invest in the people. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said the Secretary of State, not the school secretary, not no secretary of state, people. And he didn't say nothing about your secretary work. Don't go ask Miss Gloria, who bring the lunch every day, talking about is a form I need to 15 million shares. Don't go ask Miss Gloria that.
Not Gloria.
Go to the Secretary of State. Okay. You got to make that point, because, you know, tomorrow my people going to be, man, I went to my secretary. She said she don't know nothing about. So we want to take all that.
Google how to start a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And find a Secretary of State. That's yeah, that's big. Mm-hmm. Rodney, what you got? What you echoing on that? What can you tell us some more nuggets on that?
I mean, I got to double down on everything Alex said. And I would say that a lot of things that people are overlooking is the Internet of Things. You know, you can look at things around the world and you ask yourself, like, OK, you can complain about a Jeff Bezos or you can learn from a Jeff Bezos and you can say, wow, OK, I can now create an Internet enterprise and make transactions and commercialize over the internet with a couple of dollars, because the actual price for that awareness is still inexpensive. And here's the deal. I tell people all the time, you got the greatest library in the world. You got Google and you got YouTube, right? You can actually see videos of highly intelligent individuals breaking down exactly what to do, why to do it that way, and how to do it that way. and literally duplicate that model and duplicate that process for little to no revenue, just effort. You know, so I think that we are now in a place where the information is literally right in our palm. We call it our best friend, which is in our pocket, our mobile devices. And we can learn anything at any time right now on the spot. So, you know, you got to get to a point where I think mindset of eliminating excuses and just saying, you know what, I'm going to take ownership of everything, of my knowledge or ignorance that I don't have. And I'm going to double down and I'm going to find out where it's at. Right.
You know, right. So. Yeah, I like that. You know, we talk about growth mindset a lot because growth is, you know, growth is one of those things that is uncomfortable, that you're unaware of, and that everybody's afraid of because they're afraid of the unknown.
Yeah.
And you know, I always say if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, it's not going to help you grow.
It's not going to help you grow.
Right. So people are, you know, really fast to be on the phone, to be on social media, to do TikTok videos, to do all these other things, except for doing a lot of actual good research. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it's in the palm of our hands, and all it takes is looking up a URL.
100%. No, the wisdom of the world is in our palm now.
Yeah, I used to tell people I know my students, especially when I was a school leader, I say learn three new things a day. Three new things, whether that's a word, that's a video, like you said, learning Spanish, learning how to do anything. Over COVID, since I was in the house, I'm the most non-handiest dude ever. I'm telling you that right now. So I took oil change, all that. I let anybody else do that. I remodeled my house of YouTube videos, man. I learned how to put in toilets. I learned how to everything, drywall, paint.
Of course.
I mean, it's some amazing people on there. Now it's some craziness on there too. However, you gotta look at what you're doing, and it's amazing things on there, man. So I totally agree. Totally agree. Well, Alex and Rodney, where can everybody find you? Where can we find your information, contact, everything?
Absolutely. For website purposes, if you guys want to see the holistic view of what we do and why we do it, you can go to evolutionaccelerator.com. That's evolution spelled EVOLUTION, accelerator, ACCELERTOR.com. Right. And the Instagram is exactly the same. So you can go there, you can check out some of our content, you can check out, you know, what we've done. And you can even, you know, be a part of the, you know, organization and get coached and get connected with individuals that can help you slingshot your organization and
wonderful,
business.
Great. Wonderful. Alex, you got anything to add?
Well, I just want to say what an honor it is to be here. And, you know, we thank you for the opportunity. And I want to close again with, you know, you don't need anybody's permission to be successful. You don't need anybody's permission to own the rights of your own work. And it doesn't cost very much. And you can really make a big difference. You can grow. The growth potentials in owning your own outputs are very, very excellent. I recommend it to everyone.
I love it. Let me summarize for y'all. Less than $1,000, Secretary of State, not Secretary, Evolution Accelerator, y'all. Rodney and Alex, thank y'all so much for being Off the Chain today. We appreciate you. We love
you.
We trust you. We respect you. Have a great 2021, man. Absolutely. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, stay blessed.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Later.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Now, so I talked earlier and I made a joke about insurance, life insurance, and so forth and so on.
Right.
But in our own community, and I've seen this young man work. I've seen him do this for years. I've known him for years in other avenues and other things. He's always a hustler, always and a stand-up guy, most professional dude, one of the most professional guys I've ever met in my life since being here in Northern California. And then when I found out he did insurance, then I found out he does his own thing in insurance. That's huge.
Yes, absolutely.
African-American male doing that in insurance. Mm-hmm. I want everybody and Christy Nong and my our engineer Sharon to meet the wonderful and incomparable Mr. Damond Owens, everybody.
Damond,
bring it off the chain.
How you doing?
Off
hey.
The chain. What's up, Damond?
What's going on with
Welcome
you, boss?
To the show.
Thank you.
Man, we're a pleasure you being on Off the Chain today, man. We're excited. And when I asked you and you was like, yes, I was like, oh, man, we going to have this the best nugget, you know, ever. So, and we want to have him back in other nuggets and other forms along with Alex and Rodney. But we want him to give us a brief overview of what he has for us today and our listeners can learn from.
Hey, you know, Steph, I appreciate the opportunity because once I started this business, I was all about educating my community because when I started, I thought I knew what life insurance was, but I realized I really didn't when I started. And I'm like, hey, this is something that I have to share with my community.
Yeah.
I am an agent with New York Life. I've been an agent for 3 years. I actually just made my 3-year contract where now I'm an established agent. So I don't no one looking over my shoulders anymore. They trust me.
That means they can't do that.
Now they're my partner instead of my,
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's like making a partner in a law firm there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm good.
So I mean it's crazy because how I best explain how passionate I'm about sharing this information, I always use myself as an example. So I moved to California in like 7th or 8th grade, right?
From where are you from? Tell them.
I'm going to get to that.
Hold okay, on. All right.
I moved to California in like 7th, 8th grade. About 8th grade. And so I'm the new kid in class. So, of course, they're asking me, where are you from? Like you just said, want to know where you from. Now, this is also the first time I had 6 classes I had to go to.
Okay.
Where I'm from, you only had 1 teacher the whole day. You know what I mean? And that was it. You had that one class, and then PE.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever, arts and craft, whatever. So I'm at this new school at Realty Air in Sacramento. And they said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Brooklyn. I said, oh, you from New York? You know what I mean? You from New York? I was like, no, I'm from Brooklyn. I know New York. That's the Statue of Liberty. That's where Run DMC, MTV, you know what I mean? Back then, I'm old. So back then,
yeah.
I represent New York.
Right.
So I know I'm not from New York. So I go to all these classes. They tell me I'm from New York. And I get home to my mom and say, Mom, man, they trying to tell me I'm from New York. I tell them I'm from Brooklyn. They say, I'm from New York. I said, no, son, you're from East St. Louis, Illinois. Now, Brooklyn is a town inside of St. Louis, kind of like Del Paso Heights.
Right.
Like Greenhaven.
Yeah.
And I've never left this town in my life, right?
Mm.
Never left this town. So all you knew was Brooklyn. All I knew is Brooklyn because where I'm from, it's a very poor, dangerous town. Like, we didn't have garbage trucks, so we burned our trash type town.
Wow.
So I see my first garbage truck when I moved to California.
Wow.
So I thought St. Louis was over where the St. Louis Cardinals played, where the Arch was. Basically, where the rich people, I've never been on. That's St. Louis to me. This is Brooklyn. Literally, like someone living in the Heights, never been to Roseville or anything. That was me.
Yeah.
So when I started with New York Life, I felt like I was back in that box.
Mm.
Like, how am I in 8th grade not knowing where I'm from?
Yeah.
You know, how am I? So that's when I learned you only know what you're introduced to.
Exactly.
So when I started with New York Life, of course, not a whole lot of people look like me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not little people, even if they look like me, they didn't have my background. So the information that was being shared was going to one direction, but not going in my direction.
Right. Didn't fit your demographic. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like
the keepers of the information.
Okay. When I die, my family gets enough money to bury me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a GoFundMe.
Right.
I don't want to have a car wash. It's always that thinking what life insurance is for.
Right.
You know, it's never about, okay, how do I create a legacy?
Mm-hmm.
How do I put my kids or somehow me in a position where they don't have to struggle or take the chances I took and being successful or whatever you do. It's just they're not. So when I was sitting with people when I first started, they'd say, I'm good. They can just put me in a box.
Mm.
But I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm covered. I got it through my job.
Because that's what we do.
And it's like, wow, it's just like, so then literally, no, the company I work for, I've been doing insurance 5 years, but I worked for another company 2 years before I started with New York Life. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it was like with some companies. It's like, boom, you pay them out, you know what I mean? Yeah. So when I started with New York Life, true story, my first day there, I walk into the office and there's a lady sitting on the couch. I ask her, you need some help? I'm fine. And there's some birthday balloons on the counter. So I'm this new agent, want to be friends with everybody. So I'm going to each office. Whose birthday is it? You know, whose birthday? You know, somebody's birthday, right? I said, no, the lady up front, her son's turning 25 today. She's on his way down here to give him a $100,000 check. So I'm like, oh, this his dad passed or someone passed? Like, no. She started a life insurance policy when he was 5 years old.
Mm.
He's turning 25. He didn't go to college, but he wanted to start his technology business. She's giving $100,000 check from his life insurance policy.
Come on, somebody.
To start his business, bro.
Come on, somebody.
Share that knowledge.
Shit, man.
And I said, what?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like she already planned.
I can give that to my kids. Right.
Yes. She already planned. Like when he was 5, by putting a certain amount of money away. And it wasn't about the life insurance.
Right.
It wasn't about her thinking something was going to happen. It was about how do I put a plan in place for when he does get of age, I can gift him. Because, you know what I mean, I can gift him a certain amount of money. And I was like, wow, there's living benefit to it.
Thanks, see? And see, we only thought that somebody could give us that money unless we had a rich uncle that dies. It wasn't, we couldn't get a windfall like that. Living was from an insurance policy, paying on something. So that's, that's so profound.
And it's crazy that, you know what I mean? I heard you talk about Big Mama in the hood earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Big Mama.
Yeah.
If you remember, Big Mama's always had insurance on all the kids.
All the kids.
That life insurance man used to knock on the door with a short sleeve shirt.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That insurance man that walked everybody out and all that.
Yep.
And guess what? 20 years later, Big Mama living off those policies.
Yep. And we not knowing why. But everybody borrowed money from Big Mama. Don't know where she getting it.
And a lot of Big Mama, they don't share that information. They don't want you asking for nothing. Mm-hmm. So that's really what my passion is now. It's more about the education portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the more we know about it, the more that we take it serious and don't look at it as a bill.
Yeah.
It's actually my savings account. You know what I mean? It's basically my savings account on steroids.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I heard a gentleman before talk about investing in yourself.
Yes.
That's basically all it is. Mm-hmm. You're investing yourself now so you can be in a better position later. You know what I mean? And if something happens you before you get to your goal, your nest egg, your family's taken care of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's really what it's about for me, you know.
Now is that, tell me this, is that a life insurance policy that you'd use as saving, or is that whole life term? Like, what is that? What policy is that? What kind of, is that just briefly called?
All right. So I'll break it down how, remember I was in this class with people that come from banking background,
mm-hmm. yeah.
people that come from this. So I'm in here studying with them. So I said, how can I understand it in a way that people I'm sitting across are going to be able to understand it?
Exactly.
Right. I'm having a problem. Right.
Break it down in layman terms.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm college educated and I'm in there like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Break that down. And then, so once I understood it, I'm able to talk to my people about it. So are people that, you know what I mean? Who don't care about all the complex words or anything. So basically this is how it breaks down. There's two different types of insurance. You have term insurance and you have whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Term insurance is just what it sounds like. It's for a period of time, which means it's a term. Okay. It expires. Right. So whether it be 10, 20, 30 years, it's going to expire. Right. Or even if you're employed. If you're employed, you have it on your job. It's for the term of your employment.
Right, okay.
Now, some companies, they will let you take it with you. Mm-hmm. But then when you take it with you, you start charging what the rate is that company charge. You don't want to get the $10 rate.
Got it.
You don't get that $10 rate. Now, based off your age, you're paying whatever that company charge. And the company you probably don't know anything about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a term. Terms are very cheap. Mm-hmm. Reason why terms are cheap compared to whole life is because the banks look at it as a very good investment. The likelihood mm-hmm. you pass from natural causes within 30 years is very less, very, very unlikely. Because they did a blood test on you, they look at your medical history, say, no, you're healthy enough for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So they're extremely cheap because they don't expect to pay out on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a period of time.
Right. Now, taking your payment.
Exactly. It's like car insurance, mm-hmm. I call it. You know what I mean?
So I
gotta have to get it.
Right.
You know? So then you have whole life, and it's just what it sounds like. It's for whole life. Y'all see, I had to break it down in my head.
Yeah, I like that. That's what we need here. College educated too, but I knew nothing about that, so I needed that.
It's for your whole life.
Yeah.
Now, whole life. Whole lives are more expensive in terms because the bank knows. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, it's not a matter of when they go pay. If they go pay, it's when they go pay.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
They know two out of two people go go. We go go no matter what.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So
everybody take that train.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the whole life is a lot more because it pays out over time, but also whole life builds cash value.
Mm-hmm.
Cash value is basically the dividends that the bank makes, that the company makes off the profit of, say, you're paying $100 a month. They invest that $100 into the market. If the $100 make 5% with New York Life, for example, we'll give you 3 and we take 2.
Got it.
So then the dividends, every year we share that dividends, and that's when the cash increases.
Okay.
Based off however much you're contributing. So if you're with a company that, if you're paid, like my mom, when once I started learning about this, my mom had a $25,000 policy with this company, right?
Yeah.
And it was a smaller company. But she's had it for like, I think, 8 or 9 years,
mm-hmm.
almost 10 years, paying like almost $150 a month.
Wow.
So I'm like, you're pretty, do the math on that. You know what I mean? And your $25,000 is always $25,000.
Right, right.
I mean, you know what I mean? That's because they're not sharing those dividends. That company's maybe a stock company. That's a whole other conversation I'll come up and talk about later.
Yeah.
But basically, they're not sharing a dividend, so you can then almost pay off your own policy. And so that's why a lot of people frown on life insurance. They're like, well, I can just put the money aside. Why am I going to give it to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might pay for my own funeral by the time I pay you off.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to know what type of insurance you have if they're sharing dividends, because what it costs to bury you today, it's not going to cost that in 25 years.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have to put it in a vehicle where it's going to at least grow with the economy.
So in 25 years, they say you can take some of the cash, you can take the interest off the cash value and use that money.
Yes.
If you need to.
Just like the young lady, the lady who gave $100,000 to her son, she paid a certain amount per year over 20 years to where it built $100,000 of cash where she can withdraw that $100,000 and give it to him, put it in the bank, or you could put it in your bank, buy a house, buy a car because of dividend shares. Now, say, for example, his life insurance is $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
She takes $100,000 out. That brings that life insurance portion down to
$300,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Okay, now there's two different ways you can take cash out. You can take it out saying you're going to pay it back, or you can take it out saying you're not.
Mm.
When you say you're going to pay it back, then that's when the interest is involved. You hear people say, well, is there interest on it? Only if you're going to say you're going to pay it back.
Got it.
Where you don't want that amount, you want to keep it at $400,000. Even though you took out $100,000, you want to keep it at $400,000.
Okay.
Then you're telling them you want to pay that back. So then you have certain payments you got to pay over the years. So that's basically how that works.
Yeah.
But if you say, I just want to take it out, there's no tax. Another thing people don't realize.
And it's after tax dollars, right? That's invested into that policy.
Yeah. What you said again? I want to make sure.
I said. Well, we're looking at after tax dollars that investing into these policies, correct? So therefore, yes. When we do go and withdraw the money, there's no additional taxes withheld.
Yes, ma'am. You could be an agent. See? That's exactly it.
See? That's why I got exactly, it, man. That's why I got it. She's the brains of this operation.
Because that's why a lot of business owners love this, because they put the money in here from their business. They put the money into the account. The cash value grows, but the government can't tax life insurance, number one.
Mm-hmm. That's
no matter
right.
how much it grows. What do you mean? This is for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you already paid taxes on it because it's coming out your bank.
Mm. Correct. Absolutely. You know, funny thing is, New York Life did try to recruit me. I used to be an insurance agent.
Really?
But my focus was mainly on 403B annuities. So,
yes.
I touched life insurance in some aspects, but majority of what I was doing was 403B retirement, specifically for teachers and professors.
That's where the money at. I see, that's the thing, but I'm still, that's series 6, 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's it. So there's so much stuff you can do, man, that, you know what I mean? I love the way people's eyes light up when I sit across from them and I show them.
Yeah.
And then when they realize how cheap it is at the same time.
Right. It's an eye-opener. I mean? Mm-hmm.
We just lit up today. We just lit up today, man.
I think we did. Yeah.
And listeners got some nuggets. Damon, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can all your handles, information, everything.
I am on Facebook, Damon Owens. My email is theowens02@ft.newyorklife.com. And that's the best way to contact me.
We're going to put it up on our page as well. We'll put it up on when we share the episode. So thank you so much, Damon, for coming today, man. Thanks for all this information, man.
Yes,
I love it.
You.
Life insurance. Right. I just learned it. So I just bought mine a few years ago and I can't wait. Now I'm going to see if anybody in my family got something on them so I can get some money.
Yeah.
I need
$100,000.
My parents would have gave me $100,000 when I was 25. They didn't give me nothing.
Right.
Jelly beans. I got their old suitcase. They ain't going to give me their old luggage.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We appreciate you sharing with our listeners. We appreciate you sharing with your community.
Yeah.
You know, like Steph has said, you know, the Black community, when it's something that they're not aware of, they don't know about it, they kind of shy away from it. So I like it when... So now it's your duty to share it with your community make sure that they are educated about it, because like you said, we're all talking about growth generation after generation now. It's starting with us because we weren't taught that.
Yeah.
So
now that we have the means at the tip of our fingers, we need to start that for our families, for ourselves. Thank you so much.
Yes, no problem.
Hence, you start a podcast and get Damon on and talk about it. That's what I did. I'll be thinking. Damon, thank you, man. It's been a pleasure,
Thanks, man. Have a good one. All right, you guys.
Stay blessed. Right, thank you so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Peace. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, boss.
All right. Hey, Christy. Man, yes, today's sir. Episode was informative and educational, wasn't it?
Ooh, I mean, you know what? It's almost mind-blowing when you think about how cheap it is to start a business, right?
Yeah.
The amount of things you can do to save money, the amount of things about even life insurance that most people didn't even know about.
Yep.
And it's accessible to everybody.
Everybody. Write things off. I write everything off. I buy water for taping this podcast. Mm-hmm. I wrote it off. You understand me? Because I'm taping.
Absolutely.
This I'm drinking it during the podcast. That's right.
Yeah.
IRS man ain't gonna get me. So this has been Off the Change episode 4. Love y'all. We want to thank Rodney Perry. We want to thank Rodney Farrow. We want to thank Alex. We want to thank Damond Owens. Evolution. What was it? Accelerator Evolution.
Evolutionaccelerator.com.
Y'all know I'm dyslexic. Anyway, we got Sharon in the building, a serious production. Woo! Thank you so much, all Sharon. Right. Every week he does this for us. Christy, my love, my dynamic co-host. Thank you so much, Olympia Queen. This has been Off the Change again. Y'all get with us this next episode and tell a friend, share, subscribe. offthechange@gmail.com. I am Steph Sanders everywhere. And Christy Nong, tell them where you at.
I'm Christy Nong. You can find me on IG, Foodie Nong, FOODIENONG. Hit me up. Follow me.
I love it. I love it. And of course, the Off the Change moment for the week was what?
Woo!
Storm in the Capitol.
And that's domestic terrorism. I don't care what anybody says.
Domestic terrorism at its highest form. And if it had been BLM people, we already know what would have happened. On that note, I'm out. Peace. See y'all later. Thank y'all very much.
This has been the Off the Change podcast with Steph Sanders and Christy Nong. Produced, recorded, and engineered by Sharon Smith. Of A Serious Productions. Please check our social media for more bonus content. Thank you.